So I'm Allison Auerbach. I work for Health Resources in Action, or HRIA, which Ben referenced a couple times. And Health Resources in Action is a local nonprofit public health organization in Boston. We're also a public health institute as part of the National Network of Public Health Institutes. So similar to Ben, I have no relationships to disclose that would impact on my ability to give this presentation. So just a brief overview of what I want to talk about during my presentation. Just want to quickly define stakeholders, give a case study from a more local sort of community level HIA, and then talk about some of the benefits and challenges of stakeholder engagement, specifically community engagement in the HIA process. So I just wanted to start with this slide about the core values of HIA, because I think it's a good grounding slide. And as I talk about community engagement, I think it fits well, and it's hard to uphold the core values of HIA without thinking about community engagement. This is really core to all of these values, from democracy, involving a range of stakeholders in the process, equity, looking at and engaging the impacts on a variety of affected and the most affected populations. Sustainability, looking at both the short-term and the long-term outcomes, as well as the obvious and not-so-obvious outcomes and impacts of a project or a policy. And then the ethical use of evidence, so really using the best available quantitative but also qualitative evidence to support the HIA, and often that qualitative evidence comes from the community that you engage in the HIA process. So I just show that as sort of a grounding slide to talk about community engagement. So when we talk about stakeholders, there's sort of four groups that we typically talk about. Those who are affected by the proposed policy or project or plan. Those who have an interest in the health impacts, like some of us who work in public health. Those who have an influence on the decision making and implementation of that policy or project. So, you know, folks at a state department or a state legislature. And those who have an economic interest in the outcome of the decision. So when we're thinking about what stakeholders to engage, you know, we sort of think about these different types of groups and, you know, who do we have relationships with, who do we want to involve. And so here are some more specific categories. And there's a great tool called a stakeholder analysis matrix that we often go through at the beginning of an HIA process. Thinking through these different groups of stakeholders, who do we want to involve, what do they bring to the table, what's in it for them, what's in it for us to have them engaged, and how do we engage them? Are they on some type of advisory committee? Do we reach out to them one-on-one because we want their expert input on the HIA? So these are just some general categories. So I'm going to take you through a brief case study that really emphasized community engagement. And this is a local project in Boston. It's in the Dorchester neighborhood, which is a sort of southwestern neighborhood of Boston. The site is Oasis on Ballou. It's named by a group of residents. They're hoping to develop their little oasis in their neighborhood. And this area was a 23,000 square foot vacant lot in their neighborhood. And it's importantly right along a commuter rail line, so a vacant lot that was looking at, you know, they were looking to do something with this vacant lot. It wasn't being put to any use. So the proposed uses for this were a playground, teaching and production gardens, and community kitchen. And these were proposed by the developer, the decision maker, which is the Codman Square Neighborhood Development Corporation. That's the local, actually, community development corporation that Ben was talking about. So they are the developers and also the decision makers for this HIA. So while it's important to engage community throughout the HIA process, I want to specifically talk about sort of the heart of HIA, which is scoping, assessment, and recommendations. So I'm just going to go through each of those and tell you a little bit about how we engaged community and who we engaged. So at the outset of our project, we, you know, used that stakeholder analysis matrix and thought about all the different groups we wanted to involve. And sort of we knew that there were going to be two different groups of people. So one are the key partners. So the developer, which was also, they were very interested and engaged in the HIA process. And being that they're a community development corporation, they do a lot of community organizing. And they actually organized a group of residents to conceptualize of this site that they wanted to develop. So there was a group called the Friends of Oasis on Ballou. And so those two groups really made up our key partners. We had the most back and forth contact with them, and they guided each step of the process. And then we, you know, really engaged the sort of traditional advisory committee. So some public health folks from both the Bureau of Environmental Health and the Bureau of Community Health and Prevention, as well as some others, Metropolitan Area Planning Council, which is the regional planning agency for Boston, as well as some community-based partners that you can see. So we then jumped into the scoping, and that really involved four steps, deciding what the potential impacts could be on the community, prioritizing which of those impacts are most important to the community, helping make the connections between the proposed project, so those, you know, what would the impacts be of the garden, what would the impacts be of the kitchen, what would the impacts be of the playground, and drafting some of those pathway diagrams that Ben showed a few of, and then identifying potential data sources. So for the scoping phase of the HIA, we really, actually at each phase, we engaged each of our stakeholder groups. So our key partners, we often met with them first to get their, you know, initial guidance and thoughts about that phase of the HIA, you know, thinking about, all right, what are you most concerned about in your community? What impacts would you like us to look at? Are you most concerned about safety? Are you most concerned about contamination from the soil and the gardens? So we really let that group of stakeholders, the community, drive the scope and thus the rest of the HIA. And then we would meet with the sort of traditional public health advisory committee to sort of back up the thoughts and the, you know, priorities of the community with some of the data and some of the technical expertise. So here's one of the example pathways just to show you, based on the teaching and production gardens, some of the impacts that the different advisory groups were interested in looking at. So everything from access to healthy food and gardening, sort of the physical activity that comes with gardening, to social interactions and soil contamination and pests. So really quite a range of impacts that the different groups were interested in. So once we had sort of made those connections between the project and the potential impacts and outcomes, we jumped into the assessment, and you know, the two basic questions of assessment are, what are the existing conditions in the community, and then what are the potential health impacts of the proposed project? So we did the, you know, traditional secondary data analysis, literature review, and because we're looking at a fairly local site, there's not great data at that granular of a level. And so the data we have, you know, the health data is only on a neighborhood level. We can get some census tract data for the specific census tract that this site is in, but that doesn't really give us much health data. And when we're making our predictions about the health impacts, a lot of those predictions rely on, well, will this site be used? And we don't have any data on use of the site or, you know, potential, you know, other health behaviors. You know, how much do people exercise now in the neighborhood? How much do people eat fruits and vegetables now? And so this idea from the Friends group, so the community resident group, was to do a local survey. So they came up with this idea. We added it to our assessment methods and really dove right into primary data collection, which is a little odd in such a local and small example of an HIA. So here's one of the questions from it, and the question was, how important is it to you to have access to fruits and vegetables at this site, a place for small children to play, a place where neighbors can meet, a skill sharing program, and a youth program? And then a bunch of our predictions were based on the fact that you know, people intended to use the site because they valued what the potential uses could be, and then we could make some predictions based on those. We had about 200 folks take the survey. It was administered by the Friends, so by the community residents. They were trained in survey administration. They had helped design the survey. It was based on, you know, other public health surveys like the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey, with some additional questions. But this was really driven by them. They implemented it. They, you know, looked at the results and really drove the assessment process. So based on, you know, the literature and the survey and the other quantitative data we had, we then moved into recommendations and, again, had sort of two recommendations meetings. One, we actually started with the sort of technical experts advisory committee, so those public health experts who looked at the literature and could say, you know, based on the predicted impacts, here are the recommendations that we're seeing coming out of the literature. And then we brought those to the Friends group to say, you know, do these address your primary concerns? Are these relevant and feasible and actionable within the local and political context of your neighborhood? So we, you know, again, had those sort of two levels of engagement and checking. So that's a sort of brief community-level example of HIA and how we engaged local community residents, and just some of our lessons learned about the benefits of engaging community. We learned that community engagement benefits not only the HIA process, but also benefits the community, the stakeholders who are engaged. So some of the benefits to the HIA process are that that community engagement identifies key community concerns, and we let that drive the HIA process. It brings important reflections of experience and knowledge and expertise. It ground truths findings and recommendations by ensuring that the lived reality matches data. So, the numbers and the literature we're finding, making sure that those resonate with and reflect the lived experiences of people in the community. Again, like I mentioned at the beginning, it supports the values of equity and democracy, as well as the other two core values of HIA. It creates more support for the implementation of HIA recommendations and shapes the communication and dissemination methods. So the Community Development Corporation, the local Codman Square Neighborhood Development Corporation, was actually able to use the fact that they went through this HIA process, the process as well as the outcomes to influence the design of the site, and then it helped them go to the city of Boston to procure the land. They were able to say, we engaged in this very community-driven process. These are what the community wants, for the ideas for the site, and they were actually able to get to purchase the land from the city and have moved forward with developing the site as a result of the HIA. And on the community side of things, after this process was done, we asked that core advisory group for us, what were some of the benefits to them? And some of the things they said were it allowed their voices to be heard, and those voices are not often heard in any community decision, so that was a benefit for them. It built their individual as well as community capacity to engage in assessment and planning processes. They have been somewhat engaged in other development projects, but this was a new way for them to engage in a community process. It developed and enhanced community leaders, especially with the survey design and administration implementation. That was a real capacity development and a leadership opportunity for them. They also said that it valued their existing experiences living in the community as well as the relationships they had with the community. And it provided a process for considering health in future decision-making, especially for the Community Development Corporation. While those of us in public health know that there are a lot of ties between community development and health, the HIA process really gave the Community Development Corporation a tangible way to incorporate health in their decision-making, so that was a benefit. We also know that there are some challenges with engaging community and stakeholders in general. Developing relationships, maintaining relationships takes a lot of time. So there's a lot of time spent up front building those relationships, reaching out to folks, and really gaining their trust. So that's certainly a challenge, but also a benefit and certainly a reward of engaging in this process. It's also key with such a diverse group of stakeholders that should be engaged in HIA. It's key that you set goals and expectations at the beginning. As Ben was saying, is a goal to build capacity? Is a goal to build a relationship between a public health agency and a community development agency? So it's essential to sort of set those out ahead of time so that you're all going into it with the same expectations. And also important to have clear roles and responsibilities. Are you all implementing the survey or is it on us? Who's making the decision? Who's doing the research? So it's really important to have those delineated ahead of time. And then with busy schedules and the differing sort of responsibilities of different partners, it's essential to sort of ensure a consistent partner involvement throughout. So thinking strategically about who needs to be involved when and how can we make it the easiest possible for different stakeholders to be involved. So whether that's meeting at times that are convenient, is there a neighborhood association meeting that we can tack this onto? Is there a DPH meeting that we can go and snag Suzanne after to make it easier for her to be engaged? So those are important considerations in addressing some challenges. So I'll leave you with this. I think it's a great quote that stakeholder participation is most successful when all groups and interests are able to meaningfully influence the process and outcome.